Because I was not sure of my ability to attend this morning's service due to not knowing when our baby would show up, I decided to put on hold our study of the book of Acts for a week or so. So we are going to take a little break from that. I expect to return back to it next week, Lord willing, unless the baby comes late enough or something, and then I may not be here next week. But whenever I'm back again, we'll pick up the study of the book of Acts. But I thought it's a good opportunity for me to take a little pause. If you recall, remember, go way back, and it's so far, so long ago, to the beginning of this year. It's not really that long ago, but it feels like a lot of things happened since then, right? If you go back to the beginning of this year, as I typically do at the beginning of a year, I sort of have this theme that the Lord kind of, I mean, I feel like it's a theme for me personally, but I tend to always sort of project that to you guys and say, hey, if anybody else is willing to kind of also focus on that this year, let's do this together kind of thing. And often, most times, many of you respond favorably, of course, and say, yeah, that feels like something that I should be focusing on as well. And this year, I began the year by talking about being pure in heart. Hopefully you remember that. And remember that we had actually two sermons geared towards being pure in heart. And the first one, I basically introduced the topic and said, this is why I want to talk about it. This is why we're focused on it. And the second one, we spent some time actually working through practically how you and I, each of us, can become more pure in heart. Today is a place for me to kind of pause, put on the brakes. We're flying through the year. This is June, right? So we're halfway through the year. We're getting there. And to say, have you stopped to consider those things you may have written down or identified that mean I need to work on these things? Well, I'm going to bring them back up on the screen here in a little bit. But our verse that we really were focused on or keyed on, the verse that jumped out to me that just reminded me of how important this is Jesus' own words from Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I pointed out to us, I reminded us that in some sense, when you look at this, you may read that and say, well, that makes sense, but it also should cause us to wonder, what happens when we are not pure in heart? What's the result when we're not? According to this verse, the result's pretty clear, right? The negative of that is when we are not pure in heart, we won't see God. Harlan, you talked this morning about recognizing that something changed from an understanding that when I mess up and I have to just work that much harder to get back into it, that something changed to an understanding that says, my Father loves me and he has provided everything for me. And I can rest in the fact that what Jesus did on the cross was all sufficient, one sacrifice for all time. Now the goal is different. The goal is not to work harder so that I can become saved. The goal is to recognize that God has made his salvation available to every one of us. Therefore, I want to purify my heart. I want to do what he wants me to do because I stand right before him. I cautioned us back then, I think I did. I cautioned us and said, if you and I have a desire to see God at the end of our lives, which I'm guessing if you're sitting here on a Sunday morning, you do. If you have the desire to see God at the end of your life, then this verse should cause us to stop for a moment and say, wait a minute. It's not directly about what I'm doing, whether I'm doing enough things or going to church enough or whether I'm participating enough things or whether I'm being nice enough or whether my good outweighs my bad or any of those things. It has to do with much more what's happening inside of me. And the reality is, every one of us knows this. Just a little recap. The reality is, every one of us have the ability to come to church on Sunday mornings and look like everything's in pretty tip-top shape when it really isn't. You see, when we look at each other on a Sunday morning, if you would look around the room and look at people like I get to do right now, it means I see what's happening on the outside. I don't always see. Sometimes I may have suspicions, but I don't even always, often even have those about what's happening inside. And the whole crux of it is, God is much more concerned about what's happening in your heart. Oh, he cares about the actions. Don't get me wrong. He cares about what's coming out. But those are an overflow of what's happening in here. This is what determines, the state of your heart is what determines the state of your eternity. By the way, Let me give you a little quote. I don't often do these things, but let me give you a little quote from a well-known guy named C.S. Lewis. He says this about this verse. He says, "It's safe to tell the pure in heart that they shall see God, for the only the pure in heart want to." That tells us something about what it means to be pure in heart, doesn't it? You see, we're going to bump up into this probably more than once this morning. But you see, there's a big difference between wanting Jesus so that I get what I want in the end of life and actually wanting Jesus just because. It's safe to tell those who are pure in heart that they'll see God because they're the only ones that want to. Not that it always feels good. Not that it always puts us in a favorable place. But it is good for us. It is good for us to stop for a moment and consider, do I want to be with God? Or do I just not want to suffer for eternity? Because I don't like suffering. As a reminder, in those messages we had, I developed these from scripture. I developed these six things, and I had lots of verses that went with each one. We're not going to go through all that this morning because that was those messages. But I developed these things that I said are indicative of whether we are pure in heart, or they exemplify, or those that are pure in heart are about these things. And these are pretty clear. I think most of them are pretty understandable. The pure in heart have the intention to draw near to God. That's their desire, is to draw near to God. The pure in heart control their mind. The pure in heart pursue godly things. They're not pursuing other things. The pure in heart watch their associations. They watch what they associate with, or who they associate, or what they do, because they don't want to become impure because of that. And again, I'm not talking about the outward stuff as much as I'm talking about the inward stuff. The pure in heart obey the call that is so clear throughout Scripture to love others. But only the pure in heart really get at that. We know we're supposed to, and at times we do quite well at that, but most times we do quite well at that with people who are a lot like us, or people who are very friendly to us as well. And Jesus said, in fact, that's the test. Even he said, his words, not mine, he said, even sinners do that. The pure in heart obey the call to love others no matter what. The pure in heart also, and this one sort of is a sort of an undergirding statement of where we're at inside. The pure of heart are able to receive instructions and respond accordingly. One of the clearest signs, by the way, I believe, for most of us when we are not pure in heart, when our heart is not really, really intent on honoring God, one of the clearest signs of that is that any time we are criticized or any time that we are corrected in any way, we can't handle that. We want to defend ourselves. We want to argue about it. We were not willing to yield to what somebody else might say because we say we have superior knowledge, or they don't really understand the situation. The pure in heart take those things. I'm not saying they always change it when other people say that they're wrong, but they take those things into consideration and they ask the Father and say, am I wrong about this? Because if I am, I want to change. Now, this morning I'd like to bring us to a text. It's an Old Testament text. It's a Psalm text. It's a good text. But it really is I'm just going to focus on these three that are here at the top. Perhaps sometime down the road we're going to pick up some of the other ones, but the three really are in the focus here. And I'd like to have you open your Bible to Psalm chapter 63 so that you can follow along as I read. And I'm going to leave these three things up there because as we follow along, I think you're going to see why these three are important. Why this psalm, which is fitting because David was known as a man after God's heart, right? So why this psalm is in fact a picture of what it must be like, or what it looks like, or what the attitude is like, what the desires are like when your heart is pure, when you really want to seek God and to know him. And I'm just going to warn you, some of the things that are said in here as we're going to go through this after I read it may not reflect exactly where we are at. I would refer you to the last point I just made. The pure in heart, however, are able to receive instruction and respond accordingly. Psalm 63, let's read it. David writes this. It says that, my Bible has a note that says he wrote it when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He was being pursued, and he also understood some of the language, some of the pictures he was trying to draw with his words, because he was in the midst of a wilderness that really was dry and weary. Oh God, he says, oh God, you are my God. earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king, referring to himself, shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Father, it's your word. We want to hear from you. We want to know that you're teaching us by your Spirit. Would you break this bread for us that we understand? Would you reveal to us those things we need? I love about you, God, that you know every single heart that's here. We're talking about being pure enough. You know every single heart that's here. You know every situation, every scenario, every place where it is right and every place where it's not right. Every heart that's here. And I love that you can address and speak to every heart that's here. I have one voice, but you have the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at this first verse. God, you are my God. I'm seeking you. In fact, let me tell you how I'm seeking you. My soul is thirsting for you. My flesh is fainting. I'm weak. I'm thirsty. I feel like I'm without food or water. I feel like I'm in a dry and a weary land where there's no water. Can I ask you, when's the last time that you really had this kind of a zeal to be with God, to seek him, to know him, that you really felt like you were in the middle of a desert with no water, no food, and said, I am not going to make it if I don't get you, God? And when I ask when's the last time, for many of us, the answer probably is never. Never. Have I been to this place where I have said, if I don't have you, God, I am not going to make it? This is the cry of a pure heart. David was the king, by the way. He was being chased by his own son, actually. He could have stayed. He could have fought. He could have said, this is not how it is. I'm the king. You listen to me. And he said, God, I seek you. I need you. I need you. It concerns me about my own life. It concerns me about our lives that I see. That sometimes, unfortunately, we actually act like we don't really need God all that much. When I get thirsty at home, what do? It's very easy. I walk out. We have a refrigerator that has water that comes right out of it. It gives me nice, cool water. I put the cup right there. I take a drink. It's very easy. In many ways, I lose in that scenario I just painted for you. I lose the desperation that's known to hundreds of thousands of millions of people around the world that understand that when the psalmist writes that my soul, I see my words are a little messed up up there. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Sorry. Distraction. But millions of people around the world that understand this picture in a way that I maybe don't, because they maybe have understood that it is not that easy just to walk out to the kitchen and put a cup under my refrigerator and get water to drink when I'm thirsty. Unfortunately, that has spiritual ramifications, doesn't it? Because it is about that easy for me just to do and get done what I need to get done in life. Instead of recognizing that water is precious, that if I'm in the middle of a dry and weary land, water is precious. I literally will not make it if I don't have it. And David says, if I can draw you a picture, the picture of how much you and I need God and how much we need to seek him and how much we need to be focused on him, drawing near to him. That's the pure in heart. Drawing near to him is like when I'm in the desert and I know if I don't get water, I'm not going to make it. Where's your heart at this morning? Do you need God that much? Are you seeking him that much? Or are you satisfied with the little wells that you can dig? Verse 3 says, because your steadfast love is better than life. Have you ever stopped actually to ask yourself that question? Do I think God's love is worth more than? And you fill in the blank. What do you have in your life that brings you great pleasure? I know because of where we live and our culture, we have hundreds of things that we do to bring us great pleasure. In fact, and sometimes our life revolves around what's going to give us great pleasure. Have you ever asked yourself, is God's life, God's love worth more to me than that? Than making sure I have the latest whatever, than making sure I have the nicest whatever, than making sure I have my own time, making sure no one bothers me, making sure I get to do my hobby, making sure I find the latest scores. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. He has a similar verse, two verses later, says essentially the same thing, but uses a different picture. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. That's a good verse, by the way, for Americans, I think. We're too satisfied many times, and with food. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Same kind of response. Because I'm recognizing there's something that's changed in his heart. I'm recognizing that what you have to offer me, your steadfast love and the way you satisfy my soul, just knowing you, being right with you, Father, the way you satisfy my soul is worth more than anything in life, is worth more than even the best food I could have all day long. And because of that, my lips will praise you because then I respond to that. Do you know the satisfaction in your soul that comes from knowing him? I'm convinced, I must be convinced that sometimes the way my life looks and the way our lives look is we don't actually have that because we don't look at it that way. There's plenty of things in life that charm us more than God's steadfast love. It ought not to be so. And it makes me wonder, do we really know the satisfaction in our souls that comes from knowing God, from having seen him in his sanctuary and beholding his power? It is the pure in heart that pursue God and draw near to him and want to know him. It's the pure in heart that control their minds. Did you know that's in this text, controlling his mind? When do you have the most difficult time praying? Well, maybe it's all the time. But when do you have the most difficult time praying? I have this, it's not a joke, by the way, but it's kind of, I'll just say it. When I wake up at night, I think to myself, I'm going to pray. Because then I usually have no problem falling asleep again. Yes, it's kind of a joke, but not actually, right? Because it indicates something, doesn't it? Did you notice the psalmist says, these things happen when I remember you where? When I'm on my bed, when I think about you or meditate on you when? In the watches of the night. That means he's staying awake. He's controlling his mind. He's saying, I'm not going to be distracted, or I'm not going to deviate from what's going on. I'm going to meditate on you. I'm going to remember what you have. Then I truly understand how great and powerful you are, and how great your steadfast love towards me is, and how much I need you. I'm as guilty as probably anybody else, but we really do love our sleep, don't we? Well, we love all things comfortable, don't we? Good food, comfortable beds, enough time to get it done. Please understand, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to bring some kind of condemnation on you or shame on you. I'm not saying those things are negative. In fact, there's a reason some of the most wonderful fellowship you read about in Scripture and that you and I have experienced happens over food. There's something about that. I'm not telling you we should not have good food. I'm telling us, myself and all of us, that God's steadfast love and being right with him is so much better than that. It's not trying to make that worse or less, or that you don't ever eat or that you don't ever sleep. It's to recognize that the pure in heart understand that there's times when I need God and I'm going to seek him, and it may cut into my eating time. It may cut into my sleeping time. It may cut into my leisure time. It may cut into my work time. What is most important? What gets top priority? That's really the question for pure in heart. Notice something else, by the way. I'm going to maybe take this in a direction that I don't know. Let me just say this. He has these last couple verses here, and he says, those who seek to destroy my life, they're the ones that are going to go down to the depths. They're the ones that are going to be given over to the sword. They're the ones that are going to be out. When he says a portion for the jackals, what he's really literally saying is they're going to die and their bodies can be thrown out into the wilderness, and that's where the jackals come and get them. In other words, they're not going to get buried. Kind of a disturbing end to the psalm, right? Like everything's going really good and it's sounding really, really good. And then at the end he says, by the way, my enemies, I want you just to like kill them and make them just get thrown out in the field and so the wild dogs eat them. And that is what he's talking about, by the way. But I want to just remind us, the third point of that of what I've highlighted this morning is that the pure in heart pursue godly things. And there's a piece of this that I'm going to take sort of away from what the literal context here is in Psalm 63, because David was literally being pursued. Most of us are not literally being pursued, are we? Most of us do not have someone actually chasing us. Am I right? I mean, I think I'm in the right country here. But all of us have things that seek to destroy our lives. Every one of us have things that seek to destroy our lives. In fact, I suggest or suspect that most of us have things that seek to destroy our lives that we willingly allow into our lives, because we want them, or because we enjoy them, or because we think they may not be so bad. I see in this a recognition that if it's something that's seeking to destroy my life, I want no part of it, God, and I'm asking you to remove it in the most obvious way that it's not from you. That's what he was asking for the bodies, to be dead and not get buried, to go out in the field and the wild dogs get them. Those things that destroy our lives, that should be the desire of our heart. God, take them and kill them and throw them out in the field so the wild dogs get them. Don't give them proper burial. They don't deserve that. You see, I think what most of us have gone into the mode of is to say, how much can I get away with and still be okay with God? How close can I get to being over the line of sin and still be okay with God? That, I am sorry to tell you and me this morning as well, that is not a pure heart before the Lord. That is not seeking after him. That is not saying, like I need water in a desert, I need you, God. That's saying, I want what you have to offer on one hand, but I want to get everything I want to get on the other hand. The pure in heart pursue godly things. They take things that are not godly, those things that seek to destroy their lives, and they say, God, may they go down in the depths without me. May the sword come and take them. May they become the portion for the jackals. Because I want life. I'm pursuing you. I'm coming close to you. I'm turning away from those things. Perhaps the greatest danger, that's probably not true. There's other things I can immediately think of. But one of the great dangers of Christianity in our culture today here in the United States is that exact lie. That it's okay to see and to even have arguments and discussions about what I can get away with. What's actually considered sin? How far can I actually go? Well, this isn't yet, or this, and try to find justification instead of trying to figure out and spending our time looking at how close can I get to God? How much can I do what he wants me to do? You see how that's completely different? It's completely the opposite direction. It's completely focused on the opposite thing. Let me return to verse 8 here because he says, my soul clings to you. It's again that desperate. If there's one thing we read in this chapter, it's a desperation. And we don't usually connect with a pure heart, but I'm going to tell you, a pure heart is desperate for God. Because a pure heart knows it's its only chance. He's its only chance. God is its only chance. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Can I remind us this morning? There may be some things that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us that is saying this is not really how it should be. I know I'm human along with you. I know that we want to justify those things. I know we want to say, but it's different for me. I know we want to say, you don't understand. But Jesus knows all of those things too. Jesus was offered the riches of the whole world. And he said no. He will end up with them. He has ended up with them. But he said no. Because his heart was pure towards the Father. And he said, God, the satisfaction of being right with you is better than the best food. God, your steadfast love is better than my life. When our hearts want to fight against what the Holy Spirit is doing, my answer to you is to give you the scripture that we began with and the reminder and the encouragement. And in a bit, I'm going to pray for the Lord to add his grace to this because that's what it takes. But the encouragement that the pure in heart will see God. If that's your desire, then lead your heart into obedience to what his Spirit is telling you this morning. Make a choice to yield, to say no to the flesh, to say no to those other things, and to say, God, you are my God. I'm earnestly seeking you. My soul longs for you. Like I need water in a dry and weary land. I'm thirsting. My flesh is faint. I need you, God. My soul is clinging to you. My heart is desperate for you. Let's pray together. I'm going to have you stand in a little bit for the closing blessing anyway. So would you mind just standing up right now? I think it's a little change of position. Father, your word has spoken to me this morning. It's reminded me of the impurities of my heart. The way that I long after other things. The way that I have my priorities out of order. And I have no doubt that I'm not the only one here this morning that's been true for. God, by your grace now this morning, by your abundant grace and mercy towards us, giving us an opportunity. Your kindness that's meant to lead to repentance is here this morning. We want to respond to you. We don't want to have heard what we heard and think, well, this should maybe change, and walk away and forget. So we have this time, this space, we have this place, we have this opportunity. Father, I want to be quiet for a little bit and just let you talk to us and let us talk to you. As always, if you're from church here, you know, you have the freedom to respond in whatever way you want to. If you want to come up front, if you want to go to the prayer room, if you want to walk out the back, if you want to stay right where you're at, if you want to sit down, you want to kneel, you have the freedom to respond how you want to, how you need to this morning to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you, his precious blood poured out for you, that you might be right and pure before the Almighty. Would you do him the honor of yielding to him this morning? Maybe you should just break out with these simple questions. If I had the ability to walk around and talk to every single one of you here, and I ask you, is your heart pure before God this morning? How would you answer that? And if your answer is no, your heart is not pure before God this morning, then the next question would automatically become, what needs to take place for it to become that way? Whether I'm asking you those questions face to face or not, the truth is still there. It's so like you, God. It's so like you to remind us as we begin our service, to remind us of your great love for us. For it's only in that safe place under the shadow of your wing, that safe place of knowing your love, that we have the security to come face to face with our shortcomings and the things that still rob you of the glory that's necessary in our own lives, and to say, I don't want that, God. Forgive me. Remove that from me. I want to be pure before you. I want to be facing you and moving towards you and pressing into you. I want to seek you. I want to control my mind. I want to pursue godly things. I don't want to be pursuing things that someday will have to stand before you and be reminded that that was not a godly thing I was pursuing. Oh, Father, may the desire for those things by your grace just be removed from us. May they become a portion for jackals. They are things that seek our lives, to destroy our lives, for they seek to keep us from you. Thank you for your great mercy, Father, in reminding us of your love and then leading us into places where we need to deal with some things. Would you just continue to help us by your grace to deal with those things, to say no to the flesh, to become new creations, one step deeper today. And not taking a step back tomorrow, but one step deeper today and on into the great, great, unending wilderness of discovering who you are, Father. Thank you. God, would you bless with your favor upon us. As we leave this place, those things that you have impacted us with, that we just press them onto our hearts, And not just those things, but the people that we've talked about this morning that need you desperately, us, but also those who are in desperate situations, would you press them upon our hearts that we may be the body of Christ for one another? We want to carry high the banner, the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you go in peace this morning? And if you still have things you need to say to the Father and things that you want to or that need to get worked out, I would ask that you would not leave until you do that. If you want me to pray with you or want someone to pray with you, I'd be glad to have that happen. But please don't just quickly move away because church is over and say, I don't need to talk about it or think about it anymore. Thank you. Go in peace this morning.